warm and welcoming people. They are to us almost all the time. Every now and then I preach a bit long and I find out that welcome is not as warm. But what we have is a great group of people, and today we're going to take a look at our hearts again.
What a great passage 1 Chronicles 29 shows to us. Shows us the heart of David, shows us the heart of the people. And Mike has just read this passage, and our lives daily tests our hearts. And when we come to a special time, we've had lots of special times here at Henderson. We've had special times for missions. We gave to the children in Haiti and the work of the church in Haiti, and our children brought a special contribution. We've had a special contribution for a mission church that we help, and we brought special contribution. Today, we're looking to help in a way that is very special, a way that's needed for the work that we do here. And it's a test of the heart every time. And I love this congregation, unthinkably so. And the reason is your heart. As you look at what God does, He tests the heart. We have that test regularly. And God, when He tests our heart, just like when you've been so generous in the past and you've done so much good in the past, God has pleasure in every upright, every right thing that we do. He's looking. Always, not just today. This message is not about today. It's about life. And so as we think about going out broke, I want you to think about a story that I read about Stephen King. Many of you have heard about Stephen King. He's written a lot. Many of his books, his works have been made into movies, and he is quite well known. He's a millionaire many times over. But he's recognized that money doesn't solve every problem. He told in a graduation speech, a commencement exercise at Vassar College a few years ago, how 2 years before that day, he'd been lying in a ditch by a country road. He was seriously injured after being hit by a van as he walked beside the road. This is a quote. He said, "I had a MasterCard in my wallet. But when you're lying in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard." On that day and the following months, the note says he got important insights into many of life's simple truths. This is his quote again. He said, "We came in naked and broke. We may be dressed when we go out, but we are just as broke." And here's the conclusion that he drew from that circumstance. I'm quoting him. He says, "Warren Buffett, going to go out broke. Bill Gates, going to go out broke. Tom Hanks, going to go out broke. Stephen King, broke. You guys, broke. Not a crying dime. And how long in between? How long have you got to be in the chips? I'm aware of the time passing by. But they say, in the end, it's the blink of an eye." And then he added these words that sound like he'd been reading 1 Chronicles 29 and the words of King David. He says, "I want you to consider making your lives one long gift to others." And why not? All you have is on loan anyway. All you want to get at the getting place from the Maserati you may dream about to the retirement fund some broker is trying to sell you on, none of that is real. All that lasts is what you pass on. The rest, he says, is smoke and mirrors. Pretty good insight from a guy who probably is not thinking so much spiritually as he is practically. When he begins to see what he has, what he is going to have, what he's going to be able to leave this world with, it's going to be nothing. He's going to go out broke. King David, in this passage, in chapter 28 and 29, King David had a dream. He had it in his heart. God tests the heart. What have you got in your heart this morning? God tests the heart. He had it in his heart to build a place of worship to house the Ark of the Covenant. He said, I've got a house of cedar. I've got a really nice mansion. But God's covenant, Ark of the Covenant, doesn't have any place like that. But God spoke to David, and he saw that David was a man of blood. He wasn't going to be permitted to build that great temple. God chose Solomon instead. David obviously loved Solomon. God is going to appoint Solomon as king. But David sees two problems. First of all, Solomon's a very young man. And then second of all, the task is so great. When we start reading about the gifts and the amount of money that was spent on this temple, it is unthinkable. So David has his dream to build the ark. He doesn't get to do it, but what he does get to do is prepare the materials for the building of the ark by giving and by encouraging others to give. He leads the way. David takes the national resources for the building of the temple. He takes the gold and the silver and the bronze and the iron and the wood and the precious stones, and he uses those to give to God for the building of the temple. And then the text says, in addition to that. You see, he had that. He had that. Sometimes we have special things that we talk about. We want you to give. And we say, well, isn't that what the regular contribution is about? Isn't that what we do every Sunday? I give every Sunday. Why do we need to keep asking for things? We need to keep asking for things because there are always circumstances in addition to that. And David gives us that illustration and that help. In addition to what he offered as the king from the nation, he made a very special gift from his personal wealth. He said, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of God, I give to the house of God 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of silver. And he gave other things. But he's leading the way by giving a major contribution himself. He is saying to the rest of the people, all of us give as a nation, but now individually, in addition to that, what will you do? Here's what I do. What will you do? Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? It ought to be willing. David did not have someone with a sword in his back or a gun in his back. This is what he gave willingly. And so the challenge was there. Who will willingly offer and set yourself apart today for the Lord? That's God's question to us really every day. Willingly offering our lives and setting ourselves apart to be someone special in service to the Lord and in service to his people. And here's what they did. They gave. This is in addition to the regular contribution, if you will. They gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron, and whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord, and they put it in the care of someone trustworthy who would use it for the very purpose. I looked online last night for the price of gold, $1,276.60 per ounce. Per ounce. A talent is about 75 pounds. I read in several places, about 75 pounds. Now, some of you are really super mathematicians. That's not me, but some of you are. And when you begin thinking about the amount of money that David gave personally, if you just took the gold, and the amount of money these people gave willingly, there are two qualities that this text tells us about. First of all, they gave freely. There wasn't any pressure. They didn't think, oh, here we go again. We're being asked to give again. We're being gouged. We're being punched. They gave freely. It was a choice, and that's the way it always has to be. If you begin to feel pressure about giving, if I understand what God's word is and what God's want, that's your problem. Because God is only asking people to give freely. And secondly, to give wholeheartedly. That means, one commentator says, there was no limit to what they were willing to give. And when you look at the massive amounts, there was seemingly no limit to what they were willing to give. When we start thinking about these qualities, that's what God wants. And when they gave, they weren't thinking, oh man, I'm retiring soon and I won't have enough money, I can't give. They weren't thinking, boy, I've got a house payment, a car payment, and all these kinds of things, and I've got this many kids and this many clothes and school starting up, and we got to buy all these things, and I just don't know if I can give or not. These people, when they gave, they didn't have that kind of attitude. Just like you great people will not today or any day that you give. They rejoiced. Why? Because they gave willingly. They didn't think anybody was twisting their arm or trying to body slam their money into a contribution plate. They gave willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. And then look, the king, David, he rejoiced not only because these qualities were his, but he looked at his people, at God's people, and they gave willingly, and so the king rejoiced greatly also. I think as we are willing to give, our king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who gave so much for us, is going to rejoice greatly. And so this morning, as we think about giving, God wants us, our lives, not just our money. He wants us to be His child in His kingdom, in His service. And so we offer to you this morning an opportunity, if you're aware of God's special grace offered to you, to respond to Him, to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ. What a great grace, what a great gift God gives for you to be born into the family of God. If you're a child of God and you've been greedy with your life, you stopped living for the Lord, started living for yourself. If you could willingly give yourself back to the Lord, wholeheartedly, I can promise you, you will rejoice. And the King of Kings will rejoice with you. And so as we sing this invitation song, if you need to make a public response, would you please do that? Come as we stand and as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely.